Well, I'm not going to preach a whole message tonight, but I do want to just maybe give a couple points, and I do mean that. If you would go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. You know, we've been studying the book of Daniel. Just started it up. Him being taken out of his homeland, and just that whole scenario being taken by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Hebrew children and being uprooted out of a land that they were so used to, and the testimony that he already begins to exemplify for his testimony for the Lord God. We talked about his beginnings. We talked about his city and being taken out of that and uprooted and put into an ungodly environment. And that's sort of the theme of our series right now, is living godly in an ungodly society. And what I mean by that is, yes, we have a lot of people that believe the Bible around us, but the culture in itself, if you see the direction it's going, it is certainly anti-God. The culture in itself wants to remove God and just let everything be as is. Well, that was similar to what was going on this time. Of course, they had pagan gods. They had many gods that they worshipped, but it all came back to just doing what they wanted to do. And by the way, that's what rejecting the God of the Bible does. So we talked about his captivity and the diet that was chosen for them, and what he apportioned these young men to eat. And then we talked about their names and what it represented and how they were changed. They tried to change their identity, but they really didn't. And that goes for us too. Then we talked about his character. How he had resolve, and when they had laid down this law that, okay, these boys, that we're going to start feeding them this meat and the wine of the king, and they resolved not. They said, no, we're not going to do that. Daniel's purposed in his heart. He made a decision in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. And he's speaking for the others as well. And it was basically something that he had decided even before. He declined to take that which was unclean. That's what he meant by defiling himself. It was something that was unclean and had been declared by the law of Moses. I'm not going to take the time to look at that, but you can look later in Leviticus chapter 11. You can look in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 3 through 20. And so it also would have been because this food would have been offered to those idols. To those idols of King Nebuchadnezzar, that would have been part of that, because they felt that if that food was offered to God, the gods first, it would have given them special power. And we'll see more about that later. But they resolved in themselves not to do it. Even all the consequences and all the excuses they could have made. The bitterness that they could have had. And then we talked about a purpose statement. I wanted to just read this to you tonight. I don't want this coming across the wrong way. I'm sure some of you may have a purpose statement. But I just felt like maybe I just needed to let you know, or just tell you what I've done. Mine needs to be improved upon, and I hope to do that. And by the way, you can modify it to your current context. If God moves you in a certain ministry, certain workplace, but God brings different things into your life, children, grandchildren, whatever the case may be, your purpose statement can be modified. And because we talked about how Daniel had purpose, he had decided in his heart, he had made a decision in his heart with principles from the truth of God's Word, why he would or wouldn't do certain things. And I want to tell you something. It was not just to please mom and daddy. It was not just to do something that was popular, because it wasn't popular, by the way. All right? It wasn't just to do those things. He was doing it because he wanted to please God. He wanted, because he had a fear of God, and he wanted to do that which God would be delighted in. And he had a purpose. We saw that in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I encouraged you to write a purpose statement, and this is what I have. This is not the perfect example by any stretch of the imagination, but just a little bit of an example. I wrote this. I said, my first purpose in life is to do this: to glorify God by being daily controlled by the Holy Spirit and seeking to magnify Christ in my marriage, my parenting, and my pastoring. Also, to always have a burden for lost souls and point them to the Savior. To disciple and mentor the next generation for Christ. To be an encouragement to all those that God leads me to and brings along my pathway. to never let a day go by without thanking God for how wonderful He is to me. To strive always to have a teachable spirit. To grow in my love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I need to add on to that. I need to improve upon that. But that's just a simple example. Yours may look totally different than that, and that would be fine. But the idea is, what I will do with this, I will keep that close to me, either in a little binder or in a Bible, and I will review that often. And these are things that I am purposed to do in my life. And if I review these main things, it will help me make my decisions in life. It will help me do what I need to do to honor God. I believe Daniel had purposed in his heart because he had principles and things that he had already decided that he would and wouldn't do. As a child of God, as a servant of God, he purposed in his heart. So I encourage you to continue working on that purpose statement. But we talked about he had resilience and he was steadfast and he was respected. He was respected because of his stand, and because even though in the point where the leader there of the eunuchs, he thought that he was going to lose his head. And we talked about how he had confidence. And that's what I want to begin on tonight. And with the little bit of time I have, I'm going to probably take another 5 minutes here. I want to talk about his confidence tonight. Look at verse 10 in that chapter 1. It says here, "And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king." But look what he goes on to say. "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." Which pulse there is basically that which is of the grain, that which is of the seed. It could be wheat, it could be vegetables, things that are grown from seed. And he says, "That give that to us." And he says, prove it. Why? And now that's what I want to talk about. Daniel had confidence in this situation. Confidence in his God. Like it's been said tonight. Man, what I see tonight when you guys were testifying about God, you had confidence in what God was doing. And Daniel had no fear of man in this situation. Remember that. As we travel this journey for the Lord, and we get into this ungodly society, Daniel had no fear of man. He did not have a fear of the king. He was simply confident in who God was and what God could do for him and his protection and many other avenues, but he was confident. You could also say he had conviction. He was a man of conviction. He was convinced that God was who He says He was, and that whatever the world threw His way, or whatever the devil shot His way, He would be a man of conviction or of confidence. You know, the proverb says that in the fear of the Lord, get this, is strong confidence. That's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. You want to meet somebody with strong confidence? It will be simply because of their fear in Almighty God. Their fear, not because of their confidence in their personality or their gifts or whatever the case may be. It comes from having a fear of Almighty God. What else does it say about fear? It says here, he didn't have any fear of man because, listen to what Proverbs 29:25 says. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. See, no fear in man, but fear and trust in Almighty God. His confidence was in the Lord. And I believe if we're going to stand godly in an ungodly society, it's going to begin when we have a strong conviction of the Word of God. We're going to be convinced that this is the truth, and we will stand on it, whatever it may be. But can I say something? And then this is kind of going to be kind of my closing point. We'll pick back up. Daniel was very special. It's something that can only happen by being led by God's Spirit, church. Now get this. Daniel was a man of conviction. He was led by conviction. He was convinced, but you know what? He had conviction with this, with courtesy. He had conviction with courtesy. The way he spoke to that prince of the eunuchs is simply mind-boggling, because you would think that Daniel would, sometimes we want him to, too, just those fighting words. He could say, "Listen, prince of the eunuch, you tell that old wicked, ungodly King Nebuchadnezzar to take that ungodly food taken to the idols, and you take it and throw it to the dogs." But Daniel didn't do that. Daniel said, "Listen." That word beseech carries the idea of being polite, being courteous. He said, "Listen, I beseech thee, please, give us a chance. Prove thy servants. Let me show you how good God is. Let me show you, prince of the eunuchs, who is trembling in his probably sandals, right? Is that what he had on? Boots, whatever. But was scared to death." And Daniel said, "Look, watch my God. He's great. He's good. He will preserve us. In fact, we will find favor in His sight for honoring Him. And you will see how great my God is." Can I say this? And then and then we're going to be finished. Conviction without courtesy is simply carnality. Can I say that again? Conviction without courtesy is simply straight up carnality. It's ungodly. And God is not pleased with somebody, yes, He is pleased with somebody that stands on conviction, but He wants and He expects His children, as Daniel did with this ungodly king, to stand with strong convictions, with compassion, with courtesy, with kindness. Hey, that will go a long way, folks. Listen, please, if you're going to stand on conviction and you're going to witness to people when you go out into this world, but you are unkind about it, you are uncourteous about it, don't tell them you're from Crooked Creek. Please. Because that is not what we're about. We're to give truth. But the Bible says very clearly, speak the truth in love. And I believe that's what Daniel did. And I believe that's what it's going to get him in authority and give him a strong platform to be a witness of the God of Israel. Because he was a man of courtesy. He was a man of kindness. And let's ask God to help us as we go into an ungodly society. Yes, be godly. Yes, be a people of conviction and to stand on truth. But let's be courteous. Let's be compassionate. And I'm telling you what, that will make a world of a difference. Father, we thank You for the example of Daniel. Lord, we know that he was a man of conviction, but we also see he was a man that was courteous, a man that was kind, polite, a man, Lord, that we look to and see that he was honoring You. He wasn't there to please men. He was there to honor You. And Lord God, please make us people of that nature. Lord, as we're led by Your Spirit, God, and as we are out and about in this society, God, help us to be servants that have strong convictions, that we stand on truth, but we do it in a very courteous, respectful, and kind way. For those that disagree with us, for those that dislike us, for those that perhaps critique us and insult us, God, may we not move one inch from being courteous, kind, loving, and respectful as we stand on the truth of Your Word.